Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. When it comes to writing a book and marketing it, a lot of the focus is on nonfiction books because that seems to be a more clear-cut way of promoting a book, while fiction has some of its differences. But for this episode, we are going to focus on fiction books because a lot of authors, they do like to write fiction books. Some of the top-selling books in general do happen to be fiction books as compared to nonfiction books. But how exactly do we write and market a fiction book since it takes a different path from the nonfiction route? That's what we are going to explore in this episode. Today's guest has a passion for history and is the author of 2 historical fiction books, Four Nails and South of Burnt Rocks, West of the Moon. His award-winning books have received praise from the Huffington Post, Historical Novel Society, a former Los Angeles Times syndicate editor, and many more. His books take modern readers back into the lives and times of Hannibal, his elephants, and much more. Today's guest for episode 159 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than G.J. Berger. G.J., it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. Frankly, I could just listen to that intro over and over and over again. That was marvelous, and particularly coming from, you know, your platform, which is, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of people you have talked to, you have interviewed, you have done blogs of. I appreciate it very much. And how can I contribute?
That is the perfect question. You know, it's not usual for the host to get asked a question before all the questions begin, but that's literally going to be the rest of the episode. And I mean, I've never really had someone who, like, this whole conversation is going to be about writing and marketing fiction books. Like, that's going to be the baseline for where this goes. We had a lot of nonfiction authors here, but this is going to be more of a focus on fiction. And before we get into that, I want to get some background on you. So why did you start writing historical fiction books?
Actually, I didn't start writing historical fiction. I started with a crime thriller that I finished that got a lot of love from New York City agents, but ultimately nobody took it. That's how I started. But my fiction journey probably started when I was 8 or 9 years old. I was raised by a single mom under difficult circumstances, the bottom line of which is there were nights we would have slept in our car except we didn't own a car. But along the way, my schooling was erratic, particularly in my very younger years. But my mom was keen on education, on the world, on learning. And she would tell me stories as we were fading off to sleep, or at least as I was. And they weren't children's stories so much. They were stories about what happened in the past. Great people, great events, so on. And one of them was about a soldier who became a leader of a gigantic army out of North Africa who took elephants from Africa over to Europe and down over the Alps in the backside of Rome, because Rome was the arch enemy of his people. And to this day, I remember saying to my mom, "So what happened to him?" And she said, "I don't know." And ever since, and as I said, this conversation took place when I was 8 or 9 years old. Ever since, I had been curious about who was this guy and what did happen to him. So the first thought that I had in my writer life was, gee, I'm going to do a story about Hannibal. But I found that that's been done. And it seems as though every 10 or 20 years, somebody decides to do a story on Hannibal. And frankly, they're not very good, most of them. So I did a lot of reading and thinking and sort of exploring, and nobody had done the story of Hannibal from the point of view of his elephant driver. And I learned, for example, that he had a favorite elephant and a favorite elephant driver. So that elephant and that elephant driver are the two heroes of Four Nails. That's how it began.
And it's interesting, like, you started this on curiosity, like, what happened to this guy? And then you did more research. And you're like, hey, I could really tell a new story about this from a new perspective. And it's great how you took on that new perspective of that elephant driver and viewing it from his perspective. And that's something important we have to remember about fiction books, especially when we think about the writing process. Like, for a nonfiction book, you have the idea, you have a bunch of tactics or main points you want to discuss, you laid them out. But in a fiction book, it's different. Like, just two things I could think of, like, right away, or character development and plot. So what is the writing process like for a fiction book? Because I can't see it being completely same as a nonfiction writing process.
When you sort of dig into the fiction writing process, there are two main paths. And most writers who are serious about it, who've done it, who've experienced it, who've finished decent novels, will tell you there are two main paths. One is they outline every scene, every character, every element of plot, and so on. And they develop all the scenes. And I've heard that John Grisham has a page for every scene, and he even has snippets of dialogue in it, and he's got characters, and he's got setting, and he's got the action. And he's constantly changing each scene, and he's moving them around on his big board. And when he's finally happy, he numbers them all, he puts them together, and writes the manuscript. So that's call it detailed outline process is one process. The other process is to have in mind a place, a time, a character. Maybe a story arc, maybe not, and just start writing. And as those kinds of writers express it, the first sentence pushes the next. The first paragraph pushes the next paragraph. The first chapter or scene pushes the next one. And off they go. It's sort of a process that comes from a place in the mind that is maybe more creative or is more buried or is deeper than the outline process. And I don't know of an author who doesn't do one or the other, or a blend of both, a fiction author, as compared to a nonfiction author, who typically will have a wonderful expertise, will have written about various topics, and will put those together in a non-fiction book, whereas fiction is much more, as I've sort of outlined, no matter which of the two methods you use, is much more creative.
And I know that writing it is a big difference, that whole process. The other big process that is really different for a fiction versus a non-fiction book is the promotion part and positioning. So like the way you get sales is different. So like things like the description, for instance, like in a nonfiction book, you talk about like some key bullet points of everything that's going to be covered. In a fiction book, like part of it is just like weave people into the story, get them interested. So how do we position our books to appeal to potential customers?
here are some sort of flagpoles for the marketing of fiction books. One flagpole is that nobody knows. I can't tell you the number of respected agents, editors at big publishing houses, and authors I have talked to who let their hair down and in a candid moment will say, we have no clue what readers are going to read and not read. And every day, somebody pays $1 million advance on a book or $500,000 advance on a book that'll sell somewhere between 2,000 and 10,000 copies, and then nobody wants it anymore. And every day, somebody will take a chance on a book whose author is J.K. Rowling or Dan Brown or John Grisham, and something will happen and it'll just take off. And no one really can predict why. Now, there are some marketing related things that can help. It helps if your writing is clean and simple and it's not a strain for the reader. It helps if your characters are of a kind that the reader either cheers for or hates or wants to be. I'm convinced a lot of readers read fiction because they literally get transported to another world, another time, another place, into a life of the kind that they would like to be living. And if you can do some or all of that, then readers will read, will get engaged, will enjoy, and will tell their best friends about your book. And then so it goes. The aspect of fiction that is probably more true than for nonfiction or most nonfiction, at least is more true than for how to do it books, is this. F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote some wonderful novels that sold a little bit during his life. He died a hard death from probably alcoholism and a bad heart at way too young an age when he was still very productive. And his books didn't really take off until quite a few years after he was gone. Suddenly, his books became the darlings of English or literature faculty at high schools and colleges, and, you know, hence The Great Gatsby and others. And they were made into movies, and they just sold a ton. I don't know of a how-to book that sells that well long after it's first created, because all the time, particularly now in today's age, people are constantly finding ways of how to do whatever the task is better, quicker, cheaper, more efficiently. And not so much with fiction. A story that is a great story in, say, an F. Scott Fitzgerald case in the 1930s or 20s might be a great story in 1980 also, and sell a lot in 1980. So that's an aspect of fiction that is a little different than nonfiction. But the sort of number one rule of fiction marketing, at least novel marketing, is word of mouth. If a fiction author can create a word of mouth among readers, that's gold. And the best word of mouth is by what, you know, writers about these things will refer to as the word of mouth that's listened to, the person in your block who everybody goes to for the latest news, the Oprah Winfrey for books, the New York Times, you know, literature reviewer. If you can get that kind of word of mouth, or just readers who are parts of book groups or book clubs or what have you, bookstore folks who have their favorites, you start getting word of mouth, and that trumps all other marketing that a fiction author is capable of.
Word of mouth is still one of the most powerful ways of marketing. I feel like with the social media, advertising, and all those other things, word of mouth can seem to be like not necessary anymore with all the advances in marketing, but it's still at its core the most powerful way for marketing to happen, because one person promotes their books to friends. That is a very warm leads right there that friend is getting, that person is getting for you. So word of mouth is still something very important regardless of what you're promoting. But I can see it more with fiction because it's not as clear cut as nonfiction for the promotion side. But for nonfiction, one of the ways that you get, like, you grow an audience is that you have a free offer. That's typically educational in some way. And then you get people on your email list, and then you're able to communicate with them, eventually promote your nonfiction books. Is there a similar way to grow your audience with fiction books, like getting people on your email list? What's the approach with that?
Yeah, one of the problems with author promotion, is that the audience tends to be a little suspect. Well, you know, this is the author promoting their own stuff. Why should I listen to the author? Whereas if somebody else does the promoting, somebody with street credibility about whatever they're talking about, then that's so much more effective for fiction. The other aspect of fiction is that, you know, you're not looking necessarily for a piece on how to do something. You're not looking for advice as a reader. You're not looking to learn in the classroom sense about a particular subject. You're looking to lie in your hammock, sit under a shade tree, hit your favorite comfortable chair, and just get away from the world. And social media touting is kind of the opposite of that. Social media, whatever your medium is in social media, social media are very in the moment, very quick, very intense, very, oh, I'm going to glance at it and move on. Reading fiction comes from the opposite place of the human psyche. And so I don't think social media, and this is consistent with a lot of what I've read from others, I don't think social media is that much of a help, if any, in marketing book-length stories.
And it's interesting you mentioned that mindset people have when they're reading fiction books. And I do see the conflict where social media, you're reminded of how fast-paced the world is, while fiction, you just want to slow things down, get your mind wrapped into a story and just be able to embrace that. So like, this is similar to how when people, like, social media isn't a place to sell. People are there usually to communicate, see a lot of posts fly by, but Amazon is where people go to buy. So you have a different mindset based on what platform you're on at the time. So we have different mindsets on different things depending on which platform you're using. So I could see social media not being like, like it has a conflicting mindset as to someone who's reading a fiction book in that moment.
Yeah, that's very well put. It is a conflicting mindset. And therefore for fiction, probably most of the time does not work at all. Or if it works, it just works a little bit. I've had authors tell me that 1,000 tweets by them or 1,000 Facebook posts by them might yield one sale. That's a lot of effort for one sale of a fiction novel. On the other hand, if, you know, again, talking about the word of mouth, one credible book reviewer, one Oprah Winfrey type, one person in a school or bookstore who's really enamored of a story or a novel, that, and the author doesn't even know it, doesn't even know where that comes from, can yield a lot of sales. Word of mouth, everything.
And that's a good message to carry from this episode. We still have a little more to go, but that is a good takeaway to get from this episode, that importance of word of mouth, regardless of what stage you are at as a fiction writer. And I'm wondering, what do you think holds most fiction writers back from writing and publishing successful fiction books?
Let's assume that a writer has got the stamina, the skill, the time, the motivation to finish a really, really nice novel that in the right hands could really take off. Let's say it's another The Great Gatsby or another The Firm, which was Grisham's breakout novel. I think the aspect that holds most writers back from say a really successful writing life has more to do with, and I'll give you a story along these lines to sort of prove the point, has more to do with just being in the right place and the right time. I was at a writer's conference now maybe 10, 12 years ago. And this was an invitation only writer's conference. So all the writers there were talented and were motivated. And it was a week-long conference and had a very prestigious faculty. And one of the faculty members was a Pulitzer winner. He won the Pulitzer and he was shortlisted for one or two Pulitzer Prizes after that. And I had a 5 minute sort of quiet conversation with him. And he said, that's my short name sometimes, G. I almost quit. I'd written 6 or 7 novels that were nicely reviewed, that had a following among my friends and family and others, and yet they sold only a couple thousand. And I just about quit. And then I got a call that my latest one was shortlisted for the Pulitzer, and then it won the Pulitzer. And ever since then, I've had a great life as a writer. So there are some structural reasons for that. One reason is that there's an awful lot of fiction that's coming out. I review novels for the Historical Novel Society, and every year we reviewers get lists of hundreds and hundreds of historical novels that are all in English, that are all, quote, historical, that are all, or almost all, traditionally published And they're all competing with each other. And they're competing with the next batch and the last batch and the historical novels of 5 years ago and 10 years ago. And so for any particular novel to become the sparkling star in the wave of stars that's coming out all the time is a tricky game, and it doesn't happen all that often, and people need to recognize that and appreciate it. And when it does happen, hooray! You know, and another example, not only the Pulitzer winner, but Grisham is well known to have written two books, both of which are among his best, and he was giving them away to clients out of the trunk of his car. And then somebody decided to make a movie out of the second one, and the second one is The Firm, and he was launched. It took Dan Brown 10 years to get any recognition. He had been writing, when his first one came out, The Da Vinci Code, he followed up with the next two, one of which was Angels and Demons. And the reason he was able to follow up with them so quickly is because he'd written them 10 years before. And, you know, they were ready to go.
Wow.
So it's an interesting, curious question of how a fiction author who doesn't have a name already, some fiction authors have a name already, and you know they'll get a little boost from their already name at the start. But if you don't have that, you just hang on for the ride and write a great novel and see what happens.
GJ, thank you for sharing with us those inspirational stories where you see the writer who is putting in all this time and then finally that breakthrough happens. So sometimes it's something that comes out of the clear blue. You just keep putting in the work, and the more work you put in, typically the more opportunities are going to come your way, and eventually that big milestone that you're hoping for may even come as well. It's just if you keep on putting in the work. And we've been talking a lot about books lately, and I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, I'm happy to. One of them that I think is just wonderful, that I think has an impact on anybody, and I'd say don't see the movie, because the movie didn't do it justice, is The Book Thief by Marcus Suzak. It's on some lists of the very best, not of its year, but of the whole decade. The Book Thief, and ironically, it's got books in the title. It's wonderful. Another book that I recommend for anybody interested in writing of any kind, fiction, nonfiction, is Steven Pinker's The Sense of Style. Steven Pinker gets a lot of press these days because he's just come out with a new book that describes why today in this world is the best time to be alive. And he's written some other wonderful, deep books about society. But he's also written one on how to write called The Sense of Style, Steven Pinker. And for anybody writing anything, I don't care whether it's emails or product copy or fiction or nonfiction, have The Sense of Style with you, because he really explains in an easy way why certain paths of words are effective, others are not. He explains in an easy to understand way all the rules of grammar and structure anybody would need to know. And it's just an excellent book. Another book that I think is, and I'm going to go back a bit, is worth a read for anyone is Jack London's Call of the Wild. That was written, I think, in the 20s, maybe in the teens. And it's language, it's story, it's describing relationships between people and a hard place, namely Alaska or the North in general, and animals, particularly dogs, and nature and so forth, is just a treat. I open my Call of the Wild, Jack London Call of the Wild, every now and again, and I just flip it open and I read a page or two because it's so good. Anyway, those are three books that I recommend to anybody who's interested in words and how we build words, how we build worlds using words. Those three.
GJ, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. For anyone interested in the links to those books and the show notes, you can head over to markgaberti.com/E159. And if you guys are interested in a content marketing book that can help you grow your brand so you can monetize it and get the income that you want, my book, Content Marketing Secrets, is available. That'll be in the show notes. Also, the link to that is markgaberti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, GJ, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Particularly, I think this is universally true, but it's certainly true of writers in today's age, is what I'm doing now, right, this minute, and what I will do the next hour and tomorrow, does that fulfill a purpose that I can really relate to, that is me, that is something I can do and need to do and is deeply satisfying? And if we can answer that question affirmatively more often than not, I think we'll have I'm not going to say happy, I'm not going to say satisfied, but we'll have a purpose-driven life. And I don't think there's anything in life that's much better than having a purpose and being able to work at it and try to fulfill it. And then when maybe, if you're lucky, you've achieved that purpose, you move on to the next one. That's a very, very good thing.
GJ, thank you for sharing that great question and all of your insights throughout our time together. And if you guys want to learn more about GJ, don't forget to get his books, Four Nails and South of Burnt Rocks, West of the Moon. Both of those book links will be in the show notes. Again, markgaberti.com/E159. GJ, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to share your insights with us. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very, very much. I so appreciate what you do and this last half hour or so. It's been a treat. And for anybody out there who's interested in or loves elephants, go grab Four Nails. You'll have a lot of fun with it and you'll learn a lot too.
Thank you, GJ. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks much.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberti.com/retweets.